Welcome to Nature Finds a Way, a pop culture biology podcast where we nerd out about biology facts and fiction in some of our favorite books, movies, and TV shows.
I'm Lindsay, and she's Sarah, and we're marine biologists in recovery, and today we're doing our first ever hot take episode on The Meg! Woo!
Awesome. So yeah, last night Lindsay and I went out to see The Meg in theaters. We saw it in 3D because I think it's only available in 3D. And we're probably going to spoil this movie a little bit.
Yeah.
But still highly recommend. Like, yeah. Way better than I expected.
Way better than I expected. It was, yeah, very pleasantly surprised. We had talked about going to this for doing a hot take because once we saw the trailer, we were like, this movie is going to be ridiculous and that, like, it's perfect. This is why we have a podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, way better than I was expecting it to be. I was expecting it to be like B-movie level.
Yeah, like Sharknado.
Giant shark versus giant mega octopus or whatever it is.
Something
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, well deserving of actually having been in theaters and not direct to TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I totally forgot to look up any of the information about the movie, but it came out on Friday.
This weekend.
August.
And it stars Jason Statham and Li Bingbing and a bunch of other awesome people, and they're all great.
Yeah.
Highly recommend.
Highly recommend it. And we were talking about this last night before we get into the biology, is that, like, it's set in off the coast of China, and there's a lot of stuff, but there's actually quite a lot of... The cast is, there's a lot of Asian people in the cast, obviously it makes sense, they're set in China.
Yeah.
But also when we're looking at the credits, there's also a ton of Chinese people and Asian people working on the movie.
Yeah, and not just like in the production side of the, like all, the whole way through, like it seemed, you know, we watched the whole credits because there was, we thought there was going to be a...
Yeah, an end.
An end credit scene. There is not. But we thought there was going to be.
And you should always watch the credits, it's important for people. And... Very sad. We were the only two other people in the theater. Yeah. And we got to like halfway through the end and he's like, oh, my name wasn't in the credits, which is sad. Cause,
yeah.
But also showed you that, yes, there was a Vancouver studio working on some part
probably
of
probably VFX. Yeah.
Probably.
VFX. So yeah. Who else was great in it? Rainn Wilson was hysterical and the perfect, like... billionaire asshole.
Yep. He was great. We never found out why he was a billionaire.
It doesn't matter.
It's kind of, it's awesome.
Yeah.
The little girl.
Oh yeah.
Whoever that was.
I don't remember the actress's name, but she played Li Bingbing's character, who's like the sort of main female, the female lead. Her daughter. She was like not annoying.
Yeah. She was really good.
Yeah.
And
not
like
terrible.
Was there for a purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Who else was really good? Ruby Rose was good.
Mm-hmm.
I have some issues with the reality of her character, but we'll get into that later.
Yep. yeah, I think everybody was good. Yeah. I didn't have any issues with the acting.
No.
And I didn't, like, the plot is the plot and what you would expect, but, like, the script-wise, I didn't have a lot of issues.
No, like, it...
Like, they weren't saying super cheesy lines or anything.
No, it wasn't horrendously cheesy. Like, there was definitely some, like... puns and stuff, but like you could tell that they were doing it on purpose.
It was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
not like we have to whatever.
Yeah, like we have to science the science thing.
They did say something about science at one point, which made me really happy.
They're
like, but what have we done to science?
Yeah,
or something.
Or
like
no,
that.
It was like they were gonna go and like. For science.
Yeah.
Which was great. Pleasant surprise for me. I watched Longmire recently, and the main guy from Longmire, who plays Longmire, was the doctor in this, so that was good. Oh, and there were Star Trek references.
Yep.
And not just Rainn Wilson.
And also a Nemo reference.
Oh, yeah.
Which we won't spoil for you because it's amazing.
It's amazing. The Star Trek references are not that... amazing, but they were cute. They Rainn Wilson's character calls the doctor Bones at one point, and then they have two humpback whales that I guess they were observing from this biology station, and one of them is Gracie, like in Star Trek 4.
Yeah, the Voyage Home, our last episode.
Yay! So that made me happy. Our other best friend, Nicole, is not really up to going to movies right now, but I know definitely wants to see this, and I'm like, yeah, I would totally watch it again with her.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like, a live tweet or a recording of a commentary of one person who hasn't seen it and gets all of the ridiculous surprises, and then us just being able to talk about things, not in a movie. Like, we do talk in movies, we're bad people, but there was not a lot of people in that movie.
No, and everybody was talking in that movie. People behind us were talking the whole time, too.
So, it's not like we were talking during something really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd really like to share my thoughts, and also seeing it again, there's so many things that, like, we probably missed, and, like, so much ridiculousness, so.
Yeah, and, like, some of the details, because, like, a lot of the visual effects or, scene decoration of the underwater scenes was, like, pretty detailed in a lot of places, mm-hmm. So I'd like to see that again.
To see it again, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So, as you said, we're not going to get into the plot, but we will probably spoil stuff just by talking about it. We'll try-ish, but probably not, just. And, you know, it's not going to spoil your enjoyment of the movie.
No.
Because it doesn't matter.
Like, if you're going into this movie not assuming that they're going to kill the shark at the end, then you're at the wrong movie.
Yep. Yep. So.
Like, the fact that, you know, bad guy comes, people conquer, is kind of, like, built into the,
yep,
thing of the,
it's
movie.
A monster
we'll
movie.
Try not to spoil, like, specific characters that die and,
yeah,
and, like, specific details that we found were super enjoyable, but we are definitely going to talk about spoilery parts,
yeah,
of it, so
yeah, it's a monster movie. It's the plot is exactly what all of other monster movies are.
Yeah
But as we said, and we something we talked about last night, is it's merely bad biologists, not bad biology.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the stuff is surprisingly accurate, aside from the fact that megalodons have been extinct for 20 million years.
Yeah. Yeah. If you sort of, like, once you accept the premise of the movie,
yeah,
the main issues that we had, I think, overall, other than a couple things, were the ways that the biologists and other scientists acted, mm-hmm, not the actual
biology.
Facts, yeah, of the biology that they were portraying. So,
yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah, so we start off in not the Marianas Trench, near the Marianas Trench, somewhere very deep,
somewhere
off
deep
the coast
in the
of
Pacific.
China, in the Pacific Ocean.
No, off the coast of the Philippines at the very beginning.
At the very, very beginning, yeah. And then the rest of it takes place off the coast of China.
Yeah. On the Marianas Trench, we think. They're a bit vague.
They never really say it. They say, the Marianas Trench is this deep, and now we're going to go under the thermocline. But it's never really stated that they're going in a thermocline in the Marianas Trench. And I don't know if, like, I looked last night briefly, and there's nothing stated about a thermocline in the Marianas Trench.
Well, because, no, that was the whole, like, this is, like, the first 20 minutes of the movie, basically, the premise, which is actually, like, potentially believable. So, you get various clines, like thermoclines, haloclines, which is, like, a sharp change in something about the ocean that means that they don't mix. You get it in the air too, like when you have a high pressure and a low pressure, and like if you look and you can see like a really straight line in the clouds, that's a cline. So you can get like a halocline or a thermocline, and it can be strong enough that sediment basically sits on top of it, like really, really light sediment. And so the bathymetric studies and like things that they'd done of the Marianas Trench, I guess, had just assumed that what they thought was the bottom, but then these scientists realize that it's not actually the bottom. You can just like
just
go through
going,
it. It's just a layer of like a really thin layer of sediment, it like near the bottom but not at the bottom of the ocean. So
and that's the theory of this.
Yeah, of how this megalodon was hiding.
Yes, and so then the theory is that the megalodon was hiding under there.
Yes,
which causes quite a lot of issues with pressure.
Yeah,
there's a lot of adaptations that deep sea animals have, especially with pressure, because pressure, this is supposed to be 12,000 meters. The pressure down there is redonk.
Yeah.
And also there's no light down there, so they're super differently adapted to seeing without light, not seeing, stuff like that. There's a lot of adaptations for that. Often things are small.
Well, no,
they're not
but
necessarily sharks, but
things at depth are quite small, but then under this thermocline is something called a deep sea vent, which is actually a really productive ecosystem, so things are like abnormally large.
Yeah, that's true. So the first thing, the first issues that we have, would be when they get to the deep sea vent.
Yeah.
The main thing that the problem that they have, like, it's deep sea vent, it's CGI, mm-hmm. whatever. There's like token shots of anglerfish. There's some good shots of hydrothermal vents. There's some good
tube worms.
There's some very CGI jellies that they put in there for a reason. But the biggest issue is that their rover, their ocean sub thing, just sits on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, they, like, deploy an ROV that is a rover with wheels, and they put it on the ground of an incredibly sensitive ecosystem that's never been touched, has lots of things growing out of the ground. Yep. The corals that are down there could be millions of years old, and they just drive right over them.
Yep, and, their sub went, well, it's not on the ground until the incident.
Yeah.
But it lands on the ground, and the corals never seem to break.
No. And well, they magically miss all the corals.
Yes, it's very interesting.
And also, they turn all their lights on. Like, all the lights.
Yep.
All the lights.
Which is also,
it's important for plot reasons, but, like, there's no way that the very first time a thing went down there, like, well, first of all, it wouldn't have been a crude sub that went down the very first time. But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then the Megalodon is found to be down there, and it wasn't ever actually extinct.
Yes.
But the issues of that being, what is it eating?
Yeah.
How is it down there? And then for the rest of the movie, how is it at the surface without imploding?
So, like, the species could have adapted over 20 million years to that very deep pressure.
Yeah.
But there's no way that an animal that was down that deep could go all the way to the surface also. No,
not at all.
It would explode. Yeah. And, like, it's a little bit different with sharks because they don't have swim bladders. So most fish have a swim bladder that's basically like an air-filled pocket that helps them control their buoyancy. And so if a fish at depth, even, like, not crazy deep, like, even, like, 100 foot deep, if you, like, if you're fishing and you bring them up, like, their swim bladders will explode.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, a thing that is known to happen. It is a little bit different with sharks, but they still would have things that would not do well.
Yeah.
If they're adapted to high pressure, all of a sudden being low pressure, things would expand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you're on an airplane and you have a bag of chips and then your bag of chips is, like, real big?
Yeah.
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 That.
But inside with your organs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not pretty.
Not pretty. So once they discover the Megalodon, they state that it's 25 meters, and all the research that they know of megalodons, which of course is all just assumptions and models built off the teeth and the skulls that they've fossilized, that they've found.
I don't even know if they've found jaws, because it's all cartilaginous, so they, I don't know. I think it's mostly just based on the various sizes of teeth that they have.
They believe that the max size of it is probably 10 meters.
Or 18 meters
max. 18 meters max, but probably more along the lines of 10.
Yeah.
And also, this one was obviously based off of the design of the Great White, which is what most people are basing their design of Megalodons off of, but there's nothing to confirm that, obviously.
Yeah.
It's
all we have are teeth.
All we have are teeth. There's lots of theories that it's more, looks more like a whale shark or a basking shark, but with teeth.
Yeah.
Because of the size, and that's just easier. And, like, they have different kinds of fins, like caudal fins and stuff to help them balance.
Yeah.
At the size that they are, which is very similar to how, like, tuna and other large fish are like, so as opposed to great whites.
An extra fin on their underneath of their body called a caudal fin.
Yeah.
Which is not their tail. It's, like, near their tail and just goes straight down. It's like a keel on a boat.
Exactly. So there's lots of different theories of design for megalodons, and this one, it could be it, right? But it's too big. Whale sharks, which are the biggest shark, biggest fish in the ocean, the max length they are 12.65 meters. Right. So megalodons would have been bigger, probably.
Yeah.
And, of course, the biggest animal in the world, the blue whale, the max of that is 30 meters.
Yeah.
So, bigger.
Yeah.
Much bigger.
Much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed, and for reference, great whites are about 6 meters.
Yeah.
So, Megalodon would have been probably double that, so definitely scary.
Yeah.
But
you know. For an animal that large to live anywhere, it's going to need a ridiculous amount of food.
Yeah.
And, like, this thermocline sealed-off environment that they found, like, it's if it's part of the Marianas Trench, it's not going to be that big.
Not that big.
Like, yeah. you know, it could be, like, a, you know, a couple square kilometers or something, but, like, an animal that big, yeah. like...
Nope. And, like, other stuff down there, yeah. like, there's the squid, which yeah. is in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler.
Yeah.
There's a squid down there, but that's a giant squid or yeah. whatever. So I guess it could be eating that?
But, like, what's that squid eating? Like,
yeah, so it's know, all... Yeah. yeah.
If there's enough megalodon sharks to have a population of them and not just one that's 20 million years old,
because yeah.
that's not how science works. But that's kind of what the movie makes you think.
Yeah. Also, they just assume yeah. that's a megalodon.
Yes.
They see it once and they're like, it's a megalodon! As opposed yeah. to, there's nothing to confirm or deny that it's a different species of shark that's yeah. just giant.
Just a large, previously unknown species of shark. Like, yeah. which is more realistic than it being a megalodon, yeah. to be honest.
They don't find... There's never a tooth, which is yeah. strange. There's a reference to getting teeth, but there's never yeah. a megalodon tooth. Even in their offices from, like, another megalodon
yeah.
collection or something.
But so, they didn't know that they were going looking for megalodons.
No, so that's true. But that was one of the things we were talking about is, like, it's a brand new station mm-hmm. and all that stuff, but any biologist in the world, especially yeah. people who study sharks, they're going to have stuff in their office.
Yeah, there's going to be a shark jaw somewhere.
There's going to be station. A shark jaw somewhere. Like, especially, like, cliched science offices
yeah.
on television. There's shark jaws everywhere in yeah. there.
Like, even when they're, like, plankton biologists yeah, or, like, oceanographers.
Yeah, shark jaws, random stuff, little yeah. bits of coral, like...
Or, like, and especially if they're, like vials of,
things,
like, preserved plankton.
Plankton,
or...
shark skin, probably.
Yeah. yeah.
All sorts of stuff. So there's nothing to confirm that it's a megalodon.
Yeah.
They just are like, it's a megalodon!
And also, the person that does the species ID is the submarine rescuer and yes. not the marine biologist.
Yeah. So...
so, you know...
Anyway.
Like we said, issues with the behavior of scientists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff. When the Meg gets to the surface, there's a lot of issues with ocean visibility.
Oh, yeah.
And also other ocean life.
Yep.
So they definitely changed the viz for drama.
Yeah. Like, at the beginning, because... I thought it was, like, the ocean visibility was really realistic. There was lots of, like, it's this stuff called marine snow, and it's basically, like, dust, but in the ocean. And it was, like, all in the water, and there's lots of little fish and big fish and small things floating around. And that was cool. But, yeah, then when the ocean visibility needed to be clearer,
yeah.
it was all of a sudden cleaner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then there was the scene where she's in the cage, uh-huh. and they're like, it's 10 meters away. And I'm like, so this 25-meter-long shark is
yeah.
10 meters away and you can't see it?
Yeah.
But yet there's nothing else in the water. It looks like it's just a milky tank.
Yeah.
Oh, so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, so the ocean visibility depended on the plot needs, not on the science. Which, like, fair
it's
enough.
Fair. It's fair. But... That's how it goes. But it's really
it's funny.
Strange. Because, yeah, there's a lot of good scenes of... dead things and other sharks showing up.
Yeah.
Which is very realistic. Sharks, like we talked about in our Jaws episode, sharks yeah. are attracted to blood.
Yeah.
Regardless of the theories or hyperbolizing of, like, one drop or
yeah.
all of that stuff, but they're still gonna come, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of animals are attracted to dead stuff.
Yeah. Scavengers.
Scavengers, so that's... But that's the only time that they are there. Except
yeah.
at the beginning when they're in the new place.
Yeah, and then it's just, like, everything.
Everything's there.
Yeah.
There is, we mentioned the humpbacks already, when they're first shown, they
mm-hmm.
are singing, and then they're like, oh, that's Gracie and her daughter.
Yeah.
And we'll just talk about, again, as we mentioned earlier, female humpbacks do not sing.
They know, they vocalize, but they don't do that, like, stereotypical humpback
song.
Singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's
yeah.
just a thing.
But they were cute.
They were cute, and, like, that's the thing that just bothers
yeah.
me.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Like, it's not plot important, it's
yeah.
just, yeah.
And, like, well, but plot important, as you mentioned, they were definitely Chekhov's whales.
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, here
so,
they are, and then
spoilers.
There was the part where they're like, yes, megalodons could do this to a whale.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, it was good. It was good. It was very clever.
Yeah. They did have a really good mention of shark fin soup, which
yeah.
is a major issue. It's a little, we talked about in Jaws. 100,000? 1,000? I can't remember now. 11,000 sharks are killed every hour.
Yeah.
A lot of it is due to bycatch, but also a lot of it is due to finning for shark fin soup. Mm-hmm. So they had a little, like, kind of like a name drop.
Yeah, basically.
Of shark fin soup when they find some sharks.
Yeah, which, considering this movie was marketed really heavily for Asia, like, they cast one of the main, like, a huge Asian actress in it. It was, like, one of the production companies was a Chinese production company. So, like, the fact that they are doing that in a movie that's marketed mm-hmm. for China, like, honestly makes me feel a lot better, because there's definitely, like, it's really easy to say here in,
yeah,
in Vancouver, where it's not a part of our culture, mm-hmm. To be, like, shark fin soup is bad, but, like, for people in China to say that is, like, actually more meaningful.
Yeah, it's a really big deal.
Yeah.
So that's really good. Okay, so my biggest issue that we've had throughout the movie is the reaction to the shark by the boat.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's a big chunk of the time where they're in the open water on a boat that's, like, a pretty decent-sized boat. It's, like, the main boat for the research station.
Yeah, it's a big boat.
It's like a big boat. They've got lots of money because they have 3 submersibles. 4, really, technically. Yeah. And so they're on this super fancy boat. There's a ton of people there, like you said.
Yeah.
The computer technical people.
Yeah, so, like, in the beginning of the movie, the characters that you meet at the beginning are all the, like, computer people. Like, they're driving the ROVs and, like, the person who designed all the tech stuff, which is Ruby Rose's character. And then it's the same people on the boat.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, so your computer technical person is your best spotter on a whole marine biology station?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, legit, like, I know people that have started their careers as a marine biologist and then, out of need, start, like, building and making cool, like, submersible tech or whatever, and then that ends up being their new career, but, like, the fact that she's the only person, like, with binoculars looking for the shark from the boat...
Yep.
Yeah, that's how a marine biology station that, you know, could afford 4 submersibles, but only, like, 50 staff, maybe?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And most of them are technical staff?
Yeah, yeah. There's only one person that's officially a marine biologist.
Yeah. And she's the chief marine biologist, but not, like, in charge of any other marine biologists.
Yep.
Yeah. So they're on this boat, and there are many instances where the shark comes close, the shark, like, literally almost hits the boat.
Yeah.
And every single time, the shark just swerves super fast and never hits the boat, which is not possible.
Yep.
Boat strikes, especially if that boat wasn't moving, but large animals do not move that quickly. Mm-hmm. And even if they did, that close to the boat, they would create a wake. They're at the surface.
Yeah. Well, even if they don't create a wake, there could be waves underwater.
There's waves, yeah. So the boat would have some reaction. This boat, it's completely sedentary. Did not move
totally
at all. The shark, like, comes right next to it, narrowly misses it. The tail swipes and to turn, and there's nothing.
And, like, well, and it's lunging to try to eat somebody who's right next to the boat.
Yeah.
And doesn't hit the boat.
Doesn't hit the boat, and the boat doesn't move.
Yeah. There's more physics issues in
this book. Yes, definitely. And then later, when we see the bottom of the boat, there's no keel.
Yeah.
It's not in any way pointed.
Yeah, it's, like, super flat.
It's a super flat bottom boat, which makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, because they're literally out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean off of China. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And there's, like, no waves at all.
No, it's real calm.
Yep.
It would be not that calm.
Yep, and also, again, no other animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for when they need other animals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's okay. We're at the nitpicking stage of this kind of...
Yeah, and so then the end scene is also not really nitpicky. It was the first thing I thought of when I saw the trailer. Is there's, like, if you've seen the trailer, there's the Meg underneath all of these swimmers. Which is Sonya Bay, which is, like, the super populated, like, I just read a thing, the director saw images of it, and they're like, that's a perfect place to do it, because it's, like, thousands of people in inner tubes off the beach, and, like, me looking at it just gives me, like, ugh.
Yeah, it's,
and
like...
just super unsafe water activities.
Yeah.
Like, why are people with sea-doos next to people who are floating?
Yeah. That was scary. And, like, the, you know, those, like, big inflatable balls that you run in, there was, like, a bunch of those, like, running on the surface of the water.
Like, next to people in inner tubes.
Yeah. But, so, what were you gonna say?
Oh, so the first thing I thought of was, how was the shark that big in water that shallow.
Yeah.
We couldn't find any super accurate representations of how deep Sonya Bay is.
Yeah.
But it's, like, one said maybe 15 meters?
Max? Like, in the bay, but, like, where the inner tubes are, like, maybe, like, because the people were probably, like, 100 people out, like, you know, 100 rows of people.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the furthest out ones were that deep, but, yeah, so, like, let's say it ranges from, like, 1 meter to 15 meters mm-hmm. in where those people are. And I did a little bit of math, and if a megalodon has this roughly the same body shape as a great white, then great whites are 6 meters long and about 1.8 meters tall, like roughly the same, and that includes the tip of their dorsal fin and then the tip of their pelvic fins, like sort of in position
downwards. Down a bit. So, like as a sphere.
Yeah.
1.6 meters.
1.8 meters.
1.8 meters.
And so that would make a megalodon about 5.5 meters tall. So, like, could get to where the people are, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, right on the edge of believable. Mm-hmm. So, you know. But, yeah, it definitely was like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's hard to know. Like, it's just because an animal can go somewhere doesn't mean that it would.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also animals that come from really deep get confused by the ocean surface.
Yeah. Right?
Like, they've never seen it.
They've never seen it. And they are hitting on this fact super hard in this movie is that they're attracted to animals in distress.
Yeah.
To sounds of distress.
Sounds of distress.
Which we talked about in our Jaws episode, but this movie just hits it on the head as a plot point. Like, Many times.
And also, like, you can go from it coming right towards you and it gets, like, it's, you know, a meter away and gets distracted by, like, one person kicking.
Yep. Sure.
Sure. But, you know, plot-wise, it totally makes sense. It totally works.
Yeah.
Probably, like, the next one I have, this is probably the part that's, like, the most spoilery that we're going to talk about. But also, like, I really... liked this detail, and I don't know if it was intentional, but it worked. So at one point, they kill what they assume is the megalodon, and I don't know why. Well, I guess, and it's floating, which maybe
for like a very short period of time.
Yeah, and then they go onto it because they're trying. They're trying to get the teeth, and it's steaming, and I'm like. Sharks wouldn't steam that much because they're cold-blooded, so they'd be, like, the same temperature roughly as the water.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out that it's a whale. So, like, they used their assumption that we would assume that they are bad at science to trick the
plot that it's actually a whale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really awesome.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Also, speaking about dead sharks is, obviously, if an animal's, like, cut open or eviscerated or, like, whatever, it's pretty obvious that it's dead. But especially with cold-blooded animals, it's really, really hard to tell, like, conclusively, is this animal dead or just, like, unconscious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very hard.
Because, like, they don't have really strong, like, heartbeats or, like, other life signs. Yeah, like, for any cold-blooded animals, like, reptiles is, like, are, you know...
Oh, yeah, they can
be... For veterinary care is, like, really hard.
Yeah. And for an animal that they've never been able to study ever, ever.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way of knowing it. Exactly. Instead. Like, they don't know what its reactions are mm-hmm. to, like, can it stay in one spot? Like, does it have to keep swimming?
Yeah.
How does his heart work? Mm-hmm. How does his brain work?
And you guys used to, like, flip sharks to get them
over to go into the anatomic state, which is something that shark biologists do all the time, so that they can study sharks. They take skin samples and blood samples and all sorts of stuff to do that. But
the shark's still alive.
The shark's still alive, and then, like, you turn it back over, and then it's like, ooh, and then it swims away.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I think the problem we had, aside from the boat issue, problem we had the most, and this is not spoilery at all, but this is comes to the fact of the biology isn't that bad, but the biologists are bad. Jason Statham swims real fast in a lot of this movie and never wears fins.
Yeah.
He gets into the water to swim
after a shark.
After a giant man-eating shark, doesn't put fins on. And then we were wondering also, because he doesn't have a mask.
Yeah.
And then that was the plot point, because he didn't have a mask, so he couldn't see, and it was all like, ugh, scary. But he also didn't have a snorkel.
Nope. And yeah, he didn't have fins.
Didn't have fins.
He never wears fins in the entire movie.
And he can swim just so fast. Oh, man. Just by kicking.
Yeah. And honestly, like, you'd be like, oh, maybe the fins would, like, alert the shark more. But no, because you kick, like, way differently. Like, you do slow, gradual movements. You don't have to go, like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so it actually would have been safer if you had fins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing that was annoying me the most. Yeah,
that was, like, the least,
he gets in the water with the purpose of swimming towards a shark and without a mask, snorkel, or fins on.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he has his unzipped wetsuit and then a hoodie on top.
And we're just, all of our problems go away.
It was so good. Yeah,
it was like, just like how we were super attracted to Richard Dreyfuss in Jaws as a biologist in our 20s. It's just like, this is the thing that I think only biologists probably,
and surfers
and divers are attracted, would know that it exists. So it's like a half folded down wetsuit and a hoodie, just like,
Plus
just Jason Statham in general.
But like, yeah, there's that scene, and then there's a scene where he's shirtless, and I'm like, no, give me the wetsuit and the hoodie.
Give the wetsuit and the hoodie, for sure.
Yeah, so good.
So good.
So good. So yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys if anybody goes to see this movie. If you're on the fence, or if you just like ridiculous action movies, I would super recommend it. But if you have any questions about like, how does that work, or you know, like what kind of cool animals would they have seen under deep sea vents? We didn't really talk a ton about deep sea vents, but they're like super cool.
Yeah, they're really, really cool. Like, do you want to explain about the differences of that between the, like, that
yeah, and, like, I guess I can do a little
phytoplankton.
Yeah. Okay. So up at the surface, like on land, plants get energy from the sun, and then other animals eat plants, and that's how our food web chain thing works. And that's the same in the ocean. There's plants in the ocean like kelp and algae and stuff, but the main driver of a lot of food webs in the ocean is phytoplankton. So like teeny tiny little plant things that are single celled. And then those get eaten by all kinds of stuff. At deep sea vents, they don't have access to the sun because they're really, really deep, but they do have access to chemicals coming out, mainly hydrogen sulfide, coming out of the vents, which are like kind of like mini volcano-y things. Like,
that's what they look like.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's where the crust has cracks the crust has cracks down to the mantle?
Sure. I don't know.
Geology. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, hydrogen sulfide and then like really hot gases and water come out. So there's lots of temperature, and then these teeny plants mostly and animals get energy from that hydrogen sulfide, and then that gets turned into like a whole basis of the food web at depths when there is no access to sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
So so deep sea vents, they like get really, really crazy animals. There's like these Yeti crabs, which are these like big pale yellow crabs. We'll put a picture up, and they're pretty big for like how deep they are, and they're like pale yellow because nothing can see down there, so there's no need to be like flashy colors, and they're like furry.
Yeah, they're super weird. So but so weird. Cool looking.
Yeah, so there's really, really cool stuff at hydrothermal vents.
Yeah,
so that was neat that they like represented that. They didn't specifically talk about it a ton, but that was cool. So yeah, if you have any more questions about like stuff that you see in the movie, or like, are there research stations like that out there in the world? I don't know. Not in my experience, but I never got in a research situation with anybody with any money. So
no, me neither.
Who knows?
I feel like there might be, or they're like working towards them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there are things that are run by NOAA and NASA. Like there's the Atlantis, which is down in the Caribbean, which is like very snazzy. Mm. So,
oh, do you want to talk about the shark cage and its plastic? Another Star Trek reference.
So there's a shark cage, and it's made of like transparent polycarbonate, which super made me think of transparent aluminum from Star Trek 4. So, yeah. It only had the like super strong polycarbonate around the sides. It was a cylinder, and then the top and the bottom are mesh.
Yes, and for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Yeah. Like, it's not like you can't make the top where the person goes in also out the polycarbinate and just have just on like a hinge.
Holes in it. Yeah.
So,
And also, it only had one hole for shooting reaching things out of.
Yeah. And it was a big hole, but yeah, only one.
But only one. It's okay. Everything's fine.
And Ruby Rose was the one who designed it, even though she's the technical computer person.
Yep. Yep. Because they only had 50 people in total on this
billion dollar except pay attention station for people who fall overboard. They're just like, what?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, so good. I super want to watch it again.
I know, me too.
So, yeah. If anybody else, once it comes out on DVD, if you're like, oh, I'd watch that, let us know, because we'll live tweet it. Maybe instead of doing a commentary, and then people can participate, which would be fun.
Which would be really fun, and then we can all just think about Jason Statham.
Good times, good times. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Lindsay, where can people find out more about our podcast?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nature Finds a Pod.
Yep.
And we're also have, you know, the website, naturefindsapodcast.com.
And you can subscribe to our podcast by searching for Nature Finds a Podcast on
your
podcast places. If you try to find it and you can't, well, how did you get this episode? But if you're trying to subscribe and you can't, let us know, because we can add it to other services as well. We grow.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's all. Yeah. If you loved it, tell us about it.
Yeah.
Tell us what your favorite other crazy monster shark other animal movie is.
Yeah.
Because we've got a whole long list of other stuff, and hopefully we'll be back to our regularly scheduled program next week or the week after, depending on when we find time to watch our next movie.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed. Talk to you soon.
Bye.